I'm Tracy Sable tonight on EWTN News Nightly, praying for the Pope. After a tough start for the week for the Pope, an update on the Holy Father's health. We have a report from Rome. Tariffs and Trump. The White House targets goods from Mexico, China, and Canada, and they're retaliating. What it means for Americans. Headed to the Hill. A preview of President Trump's address to lawmakers tonight, including the thoughts of a Catholic bishop and a special guest. Plus, a Jesus figure. A new trend in the nation's capital dedicated to our Lord is causing a stir on social media. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us. Our top story tonight, after suffering two respiratory insufficiencies on Monday, Pope Francis slept well throughout the night. That is according to the Holy See Press Office. EWTN Vatican News correspondent Colin Flynn has more on the latest bulletin on the Holy Father.
Good evening, Tracy. This evening's update on the health of Pope Francis is shorter and better than it has been in previous days. We're told that the Holy Father's condition today was stable, and that he did not present any episodes of respiratory insufficiency. That is a condition which causes problems when breathing, specifically while a person is resting. He also did not suffer from bronchospasm, a tightening of the lung muscles, which he did yesterday. Now, this morning, he switched to high-flow oxygen therapy and had respiratory physiotherapy. We're told that he was alert and cooperative during these therapies, and he did not have a fever. The Vatican also stated that during the day, the Pope spent time in prayer, he rested, and also received the Eucharist. Tonight, they say the Holy Father will receive non-invasive mechanical ventilation, so receiving oxygen through a mask, and that will go on until tomorrow morning. Still, as always, they say the Pope's prognosis remains reserved. In Rome, Colm Flynn for EWTN News Nightly.
Well, the Trump administration imposes new tariffs on Mexico and Canada imports from both nations, well, now to be taxed at 25%. The White House says both countries had ample opportunity to curb the dangerous cartel activity and influx of lethal drugs flowing into the United States, but failed. And now global reaction is pouring in. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tracy, today President Trump has been posting statements online about the tariffs. Of course, world leaders are reacting to the tariffs as well. And here on the North Lawn, right out behind me, we caught up with some White House administration officials.
As the new tariffs kick in on Truth Social, President Donald Trump writes, "If companies move to the United States, there are no tariffs." This morning, outside the White House, counselor to the president, Alina Haba, expanded on that.
Do it in America, America first. Create cars in America. Bring your business, build your factories in America, and you will be treated kindly.
And Vice President J.D. Vance told reporters Canada has not been serious about stopping the drug trade, allowing in too much fentanyl.
The president's going to have conversations with the Canadians. We need to see real engagement on the fentanyl issue, on the drug issue. That is fundamentally the underlying element of these tariffs.
The Canadian Prime Minister is not buying that explanation, and Justin Trudeau also made President Trump's tariffs personal.
Now, it's not in my habit to agree with the Wall Street Journal, but Donald, they point out that even though you're a very smart guy, this is a very dumb thing to do.
Trudeau said Canada would impose 25% tariffs on American goods. And President Trump posting again this afternoon, please explain to Governor Trudeau of Canada that when he puts on a retaliatory tariff on the U.S., our reciprocal tariff will immediately increase by a like amount.
President Trump is going to put America first. And by doing so, he's sending a strong message that people need to recognize that if you're going to hurt us economically or importing or exporting, we're just going to be fair and say you're going to get the same thing back.
Buenos dias.
In Mexico City today, President Claudia Sheinbaum said there's no justification for the tariffs, adding Mexico will respond with its own retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods. While the effect on Americans won't necessarily be immediate, it could raise prices for just about everything, from food to electronics and cars.
In addition, President Trump doubled the tariff he slapped on China last month in February. China retaliated with tariffs of up to 15% on a wide array of U.S. farm exports. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
All right, thank you, Owen. Well, the CEO of Target, one of the largest retailers in the U.S., is sounding the alarm on tariffs. In an interview, Brian Cornell said that his company relies heavily on Mexican produce, products such as strawberries, bananas, and avocados during the winter months. Those are categories where we'll try to protect pricing, but the consumer will likely see price increases over the next couple of days. If there is a 25% tariff, those prices will go up. The warning comes as the company says its sales dropped in February and they are not expected to grow more than around 1% this year. On top of that, Target adds that, quote, tariff uncertainty will impact profit this quarter. The news comes after Walmart, America's largest retailer, recently warned that 2025 would be a rocky year. And joining us now is Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate. Mark, great to be with you today. First, what products could we see an impact the most by these tariffs?
Well, I think we'll see more products than not that are coming into the United States affected by this. You know, President Trump negotiated a North American free trade agreement during his first term, and now he's essentially broken those promises in that agreement. And of course, the Canadians and Mexicans are wondering why that's happening. But to your question, it will be a wide range of things, and it will be the grocery store. It will be trying to buy an automobile. It would be at the hardware store, consumer electronics, a wide range of things. And as we're hearing from retail industry executives, these price hikes are coming soon. It's not going to be a long lag on everything. The cost of building a new home in the United States could rise by 5%. That translates to $22,000. If you're using a mortgage to pay for that, that translates to extra payments in the course of a year of $3,000.
Mark, how long do you think this could last?
I mean, your guess is as good as anyone, Tracy. It's all up to the president. And we see the unpredictability of his decision making on this. And in the reporter package, is it fentanyl? Is it U.S. production capability? What is it exactly? The Canadian Prime Minister said we have ramped up our response on the drugs. And yet, you know, here we are today. So I wish that I could give you a firm answer. I think that people have been hoping for the best, but bracing for the worst. And obviously, U.S. consumers, through consumer sentiment measures, are quite downbeat on these prospects because the number one economic issue in the presidential campaign was inflation, which this threatens to inflame.
Yeah, and China and America are two of the biggest economies in the world. I want to touch on this. And now we're in a trade war. What does that mean, Mark, for the global economy?
Well, we see deglobalization, and we see the U.S. essentially backing away from its engagement in international activities of all kinds. And so the world becomes a more unstable place, and we're essentially ceding the playing field to evil actors.
Let me ask you this, Mark. How do you think, obviously you're mentioning prices going up for families, overall, how is this going to affect their bottom line?
Well, we risk a recession. We risk slower growth. A contraction is the opposite of economic expansion. In other words, we see negative growth. And we risk higher inflation. And so it could be a stagflation situation. And we'll probably see rising unemployment.
All right. So we're going to prepare for the worst, hopefully expect the best. Thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, Ukraine's leader is calling Friday's spat in the Oval Office as regrettable, and it is time to make things right. President Volodymyr Zelensky made the statement in a post on X following the United States' decision to suspend all military aid to Ukraine. He says, "I would like to reiterate Ukraine's commitment to peace. None of us wants an endless war. Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than Ukrainians. My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts." Meanwhile, Ukraine's Air Force reported that Russian forces launched 99 drone strikes overnight. One hit a children's hospital in Sumy, sparking a fire, but no injuries were reported. In the port city of Odessa, a local government official said drone strikes injured four people, damaged several structures, and shut down some heating facilities. Vice President J.D. Vance is pushing back at a question that suggested the U.S. wasn't putting pressure on Russia to end the war with Ukraine. It happened earlier today on Capitol Hill.
We still have a number of sanctions that are placed on the Russians. We do believe that the Russians economically are struggling because of this conflict. We do believe that it's in Russia's best interest, but also Ukraine and the United States' best interest to bring this conflict to a close. So we believe in applying pressure to everybody to stop the killing, because that's what the president's policy is, and that's what's in the best interest of the American people.
President Donald Trump is expected to talk about Russia's ongoing war with Ukraine tonight in his joint address to Congress. But the renewal of the American dream will be the main theme of his speech, which will include comments on the economy and thinning the government. All right, let's check in now with Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales with a preview. Eric.
Good evening. White House officials say President Trump's address to Congress will focus on four main issues: his accomplishments both here and abroad, what the administration has done for the economy, and his renewed push to pass border security, plus the president's plan for peace around the world. Republicans say it will be must-see TV.
Tonight, President Trump is going to be celebrating the renewal of the American dream. And he's going to go into a lot of detail about how his agenda not only is starting to be carried out in just less than 2 months, it's been a riveting pace that President Trump took to start getting our country back on track.
The president is also expected to highlight the more than $1.7 trillion in investments made to bring manufacturing back to the U.S., increasing energy production, AI, and more. But Democrats say don't be fooled by the president's words.
We need to judge President Trump not just by the words that he says tonight, but by his actions that he has demonstrated. Time and time again, he has said one thing and done the other.
We want to hear about Social Security. We want to hear about Medicaid. We want to hear about fighting fires. We want to hear about our veterans. We're not interested in hearing about the Donald Trump alternate realities.
On foreign policy, the president is expected to outline his plans to restore peace in the future of Ukraine, something North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis hopes the president will continue to give aid.
And I'll support continued funding. I want to make it clear to Putin he can't win. And a part of that comes from a commitment to the United States.
If they're going to boycott, please call my office. I have so many people who are so excited about Donald J. Trump. They would love to be in that room tonight. So if they want to give their ticket up, give me a call.
West Virginia Congressman Riley Moore's guest will be Bishop Robert Barron with the Diocese of Winona, Rochester.
What do you hope to hear tonight?
I don't really have any particular expectation. I was graciously invited here by Representative Moore from West Virginia. And, you know, I'm a student of American history, and I've been watching these addresses for many years. So just the chance to be in the chamber and to hear the president, see the whole government assemble, all that was attractive to me. So I accepted the invitation. But that's really my expectation, is just to take in kind of the beauty of the event.
Bishop Barron, who founded Word on Fire Ministries, also hopes peace will prevail throughout the world. He also wants Catholics to pray for the Holy Father in his ongoing health battle. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
One other invited guest who will be in the audience tonight is a high school volleyball player who was severely injured when a biological male identifying as a girl spiked the ball in her face. In the incident back in 2022, Peyton McNabb suffered a concussion, brain bleed, and permanent whiplash. The Murphy, North Carolina native is outspoken in her fight for fairness in women's and girls' sports. She has also attended the event when President Donald Trump signed an executive order banning biological males from women's sports. Well, this comes as Senate Democrats blocked a measure last night to codify the president's executive order banning biological men from women's sports. The test vote failed to gain the 60 votes needed to advance after senators stuck to party lines. The House passed its own version of the bill in January. Without Senate approval, though, the proposal is stalled. Republicans say the bill would have ensured fairness for women and girls. Democrats say the bill was an example of federal overreach. Reaction poured in overnight. And writing on social media, Kristen Wagoner from Alliance Defending Freedom said in part, quote, "Women and girls deserve their own sports and spaces. They deserve fairness and dignity, both on the playing field and in their locker rooms. And they deserve to know exactly who is voting against fairness, safety, and equal opportunity for female athletes." Meanwhile, in the Middle East, Israel says that it is ready to move on to the second phase of the ceasefire deal with one condition. The country's foreign minister says that Hamas must release some of the 59 hostages that it is still holding. The first phase of the ceasefire ended over the weekend. Israel has since blocked aid from entering into Gaza. Hamas says that it also wants to proceed to the second phase to open the way to end the war, the withdrawal of Israeli troops from Gaza, and a return of the remaining hostages. Sad, we still have a lot more to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including a triple threat. Major storms are moving through large parts of the country. Who will be impacted and when? And chaos in Parliament. What led to this scary scene in Serbia? Welcome back. A powerful storm is moving across the U.S., putting several states under alert. The forecast even impacted the celebrations of Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Take a look at this apartment impacted by the winds in Texas and this one taken in New Mexico after a family had zero visibility while driving. The severe weather will bring a threat of blizzard conditions, high winds, flash flooding, and even fire weather conditions. And New Orleans, several Mardi Gras celebrations were shortened or rescheduled. All right, joining us now is meteorologist Alana Cameron with Weather Nation. Alana, good to see you. March definitely coming in like a lion here. This wild weather impacting, as you mentioned, a large portion of the nation, including New Orleans, where that tornado risk was putting a little bit of a damper on the Mardi Gras celebrations. What more can you tell us about what happened there?
Well, it looks like a lot of those storms as we get through the rest of the evening should be clearing places like the New Orleans metro. But a lot of those festivities were happening earlier in the day because of that line of thunderstorms, a very powerful line of storms moving its way across the country in a really wide coverage area that's under this risk for severe weather. We'll continue for the rest of today for Mardi Gras, and then it's going to continue to shift its way east to a very populated corridor for Wednesday. Here's the risk from the Storm Prediction Center. And notice this area highlighted in orange. It's an enhanced risk. It's a level 3 out of 5 threat for severe thunderstorms. And that's going to include a pretty populated corridor, the I-95 corridor, up and down the Carolinas and in towards Virginia. But this doesn't stop there. It extends up and towards areas like Washington, D.C., and all the way down through Savannah and Jacksonville. So that's tomorrow's tornado potential. There's also the risk for these significant damaging winds, where we could get wind gusts across these areas from Norfolk through Wilmington all the way down through Charleston that could get up to 75 miles per hour. So it's a big squall line that's going to work its way through. And just look at this system. You can see snow on the west side of this. Those blizzard-like conditions will be moving through. But this line of thunderstorms is not going to quit into the overnight hours. It's going to keep progressing its way east. Now we're getting into early Wednesday morning, influencing the Appalachian Mountains all the way down through the Gulf Coast. And then the timeline of this for areas along I-95, it's going to be a little bit later into the morning hours and then through the afternoon evening. So you can see that frontal system just keeps pushing these thunderstorms off to the east, and then we should be clearing things out. So if you're in Baltimore or Washington, the timeline right now looks like the early afternoon. This line of thunderstorms could move through. So Baltimore, based on this, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're expecting these storms. And then once the front moves through, the severe weather hazard should come to an end. Another look at another area here, Raleigh-Durham is expecting those storms by the late morning time frame. Same system, damaging winds, tornadoes possible, and even some embedded hail. Now, it's a fast-moving system, so the flooding risk is a little bit on the lower end across these areas, but it's going to be a big one to watch, and we'll continue to monitor the development of this system, but it should be cleared from the East Coast as early as Wednesday. Back to
and you also mentioned the Carolinas there, and they were battling wildfires as well. What's the latest on that?
Well, it does look like, especially because we have some burn scar out there, we've had about a 30% containment over those South Carolina wildfires. But because of the burn scar, there's a little bit more of that element of flash flooding. So if you've lived in an area where we've had wildfires, well, this will bring an end to the really dry conditions, but it does bring in that increased threat for flash flooding.
Alana, almost out of time, I want to ask you this. It seems like this is, we mentioned a triple threat, really some crazy March weather here. How unusual is this weather pattern and what's behind it?
Well, for this time of year in March, it's pretty common for us to get these big storm systems, especially with blizzard conditions on the cold side and severe thunderstorms. It's really kicking off severe weather season, so not completely uncommon for this time of year.
Okay, we're going to leave right there. Thank you so much for your insights. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, in Japan, more than 1,000 people are under evacuation due to a forest fire. This is in the city of Ofunata, a coastal city in the northeastern part of the country. The fire has burned around 2,100 hectares of forest since it started last Wednesday. More than 2,000 firefighters from across the country are trying to bring the flames under control. Okay, now to Serbia, where at least three lawmakers are injured once seriously following chaotic scenes in parliament. Just unbelievable scenes from the Assembly Hall showing opposition MPs setting off flares and smoke bombs to block the passage of last-minute laws proposed by the outgoing government. As the session continued, opposition lawmakers blew whistles, calling on the ruling party to confirm the resignation of the current prime minister. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, a joyful mystery and a social media sensation, why visitors to Capitol Hill need to keep their eyes open. Just before his hospitalization, Pope Francis prepared the prayer intentions for the month of March, in which he invites all faithful to pray for families in crisis.
La gracia de Dios nos da fuerza para perdonar y trae paz.
In his pre-recorded message, the Holy Father notes that there is no such thing as a perfect family. He also laments how often differences among family members can cause conflict and painful wounds. The Pope stresses that the best medicine to heal a wounded family is forgiveness, which, with the help of God's grace, renews the family and brings peace. Well, finally tonight, as Congress prepares for President Trump's visit, there may be another tiny visitor attending his speech. In recent days, congressional staffers have reported little statues of Jesus popping up everywhere around the Hill. These images, shared by aides, show figurines in Statuary Hall and another directly outside the doors of the Speaker's office. This follows a current TikTok trend where many Christian users encourage others to place the figurines in stores, hospitals, or even gas stations. Whomever is leaving them at the Capitol, though, remains a mystery. Well, we like that mystery. We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.